Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Last week, the Florida House passed a bill that critics call the union-busting bill. It's HB 25. Let's listen to a report from Florida Public Radio's Sasha Cordner about that bill. It's so far gone nowhere in the state Senate. And after this report, we'll come back and talk with our next guest about the bill.
The so-called union-busting measure is by Longwood Republican Representative Scott Plakin. He says it's a rather simple bill.
First, it's about transparency, in that we'll be asking public sector unions to report how many of their members pay dues, along with a report that they already file each year. It's already being done. Second, it's about democracy, as we'll be asking them to make sure that at least half their members are dues-paying. Third, it's about accountability, in that we'll hold union officials accountable to their members, in that they, in some cases, will need to be more responsive to their members to earn their support, just like we need to do in this room. If they fail to comply with these simple measures towards transparency, democracy, and accountability, they'll simply have to recertify.
The measure doesn't have the backing of Democrats like Orlando Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith. He says it's a targeted effort to disband certain unions.
We already know who's going to be dramatically impacted by this bill. It's FEA, the teachers' union, AFSCME, our government employees, and probably a few others. But who cares? Mission accomplished. Isn't that the point of this bill? Aren't they the real targets?
The measure does include a carve-out for public safety workers like law enforcement officers and firefighter unions. But Les Cantrell says not every public safety worker gets that carve-out. He represents the National Association of Government Employees, or NAGE.
NAGE currently represents in excess of 3,500 emergency medical technicians, or EMTs, and paramedics, and are not excluded from and would be directly impacted by this bill. When lives are on the line, we trust our EMTs to do the best in one of the most stressful and difficult professions in Florida. Having a collective bargaining agreement gives them a voice to negotiate for fair wages and for their work, and to ensure they have the best working conditions they need to do their job.
The proposal, heavily backed by Republican lawmakers, also doesn't have the backing of Brody Hughes. He's with the International Union of Police Associations. While his union is one of the groups carved out of the bill because of his members' public safety backgrounds, Hughes still opposes the measure.
This may be an oxymoron, but I'm a Republican union president. I support the fact that we should have unions. And if the Republicans that are pushing this don't take the serious, that they're going to create problems throughout our state that we can't reverse.
Meanwhile, the measure is backed by conservative groups like Americans for Prosperity and pro-business groups like Florida Chamber of Commerce. Here's the Florida Chamber's Chris Emanuel.
The Florida Chamber of Commerce wants every Floridian to have a good wage. Our companies are some of the largest employers and some of the smallest employers. What we're talking about, though, is in the public sector. These public sector unions that are claiming to represent the entirety of a bargaining unit, but not being, in our view, appropriately representative of that bargaining unit. And we think it's bad governance to have such a small percent of people make decisions for such a large portion of the bargaining unit.
The Florida House passed the measure 65-41. Lawmakers appear to be fast-tracking the bill after only a single committee hearing. Meanwhile, its Senate companion bill, which is scheduled for three committee hearings, has not been heard. A similar bill passed the House last year but died in the Senate as well. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Cordner.
And I'm Sean Canaan, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. You're listening to Midpoint. So welcome back to Midpoint. And we're talking today, in the second half of the show, we're talking about this bill that just passed the Florida House last week. And the critics call it the union-busting bill. It's HB 25, and it would decertify unions if they go below 50% membership. And here, my guest to talk about it today is Erin Sauer. She's co-president of the Graduate Assistants United at USF. Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint, Erin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. And it's safe to say that you oppose this bill.
Yes.
So tell why. What is it about this bill that you think would hurt graduate students?
So the biggest problem with this bill is that it would decertify unions that have less than 50% membership. So our union has less than 50% membership, as do many teacher unions around the state, faculty unions at universities and colleges, staff unions like AFSCME, so sanitation workers, janitorial staff, the EMTs. I'm sure many of their chapters also have less than 50% membership. It's very hard to maintain 50% membership, particularly for GAU, for the Graduate Student Union, because our labor force turns over so quickly. People are only there for 2 to 5 years. So it's hard to keep up with that. And because we live in Florida, union membership is not automatic. So we have to go around and have like personal conversations with people and using our volunteer time, find people in our unit and get them to join or ask them to join and sign membership cards. None of that happens automatically.
If you're someone that you haven't really thought that much about unions and you're just coming into this conversation and you think, well, you know, 50% sounds like a reasonable number that I would, you know, that you would expect, that roughly 50% of people would want to be in the union, or else it's not really what you would think of as a union. But as you're laying out here, it's more than that. It's more complicated than that, I guess.
Yes, definitely. Because we're in Florida, the way the laws work here, nobody is automatically enrolled in their union. No public employees are automatically enrolled in their union. So you have to opt in. And a lot of people don't know that, especially people moving from out of state where those laws don't exist, where you're automatically put into your teacher's union upon signing your appointment. And you can opt out if you want some places, but you're automatically enrolled. Here, that's not the case. Nobody's automatically enrolled in the union. You have to sign a membership form. That makes it much harder for us to maintain these high percentages of membership.
Even if you're not a dues-paying member in the union, you get all the benefits that dues-paying members do get. So it's almost like there's a built-in disincentive for people to join.
Absolutely. You get all the same rights of the collective bargaining agreement that we make with the university or that any union would make with their employer. You just may not have coverage by the union if you need to grieve something, but you do get all the same benefits of the CBA. You get the same minimum stipend or minimum salary. You get the same health care. Everything else is the same. So it is very, it's not super easy to convince people to join when they're already receiving all of these benefits without actually having to become a member of the union.
Your union is called Graduate Assistants United. What's a graduate assistant?
We are teaching assistants, like TAs and research assistants. And then there's some graduate assistant positions that are a little more office sort of jobs at the University of South Florida. So we teach the undergrads, we teach courses, we do groundbreaking research, we bring in millions of dollars in grant money to the university. We do tons and tons of work for the university.
So you're graduate students, you're working toward a degree in a specialized field, and you're also, I don't want to say on the side like it's unrelated, but in addition to that, you are working. You're laborers, you're putting in time at work as an assistant, whether it's a TA, a teaching assistant, or a graduate research assistant. And so it's that work that you are unionized with and that you're trying to protect your workers' rights.
Yes, not every graduate student is a graduate assistant. Some graduate students are just enrolled in classes and they just work towards their degree and they don't have this additional employment that GAs have. So it's not every grad student, but there are a lot of us. Our unit is 2,200 people, which I'm sure you can imagine. It's very difficult to go find 2,200 graduate students and have these in-person conversations with them that leads to them signing a membership form. Right now we have about 12% membership, which seems very low if you are unaware of how large our unit actually is, but that's like close to 300 people that are actually members of our union. But our bargaining unit is just so big with 2,200 people scattered across all three campuses. Lots of people in St. Pete. We have people in Sarasota, most of the units in Tampa, but yeah.
That leads to my next question, which has to do with this is slightly off the topic that we're discussing right now, but you mentioned the three different main campuses of the University of South Florida. You're based, I think, on the Tampa campus, and you mentioned the Sarasota Manatee campus and the USF St. Pete campus. There's a bill in the state legislature that's in the House. It's not, I don't believe it's in anything in the state Senate yet, but it would consolidate, as we heard in Rob's show last hour, it would, the bill would consolidate the three main campuses of USF into one big big university, I guess. Has your union taken a position on it, or is there anything that our listeners should gain insight from what you know about this process?
I'm not so sure that we have a very strong opinion on this right now, but I think the most important thing informationally for graduate assistants to know is that if the university system was to consolidate, it wouldn't affect our collective bargaining agreement because we represent all the GAs across all the whole university system, regardless of where you are. So it doesn't really make a difference for the GAs. I mean, there'd probably be some complicated stuff and people might get moved around. But as far as the collective bargaining agreement goes and the people who are covered by our union, that shouldn't change if the system is consolidated.
Our guest is Erin Sauer. She's co-president of the Graduate Assistants United at USF. That's a union of graduate assistants at the university. And I should also say you're in the Integrative Biology Department. You're on your way to your PhD. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
813-239-9663. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org or text at 813-433-0885. I want to read an email here from Peter, and this says, when is the bill being voted on? Is a vote against the bill? And so let me answer that for Peter, and Erin, I'll let you follow up on that. The bill passed the full House last week, and it is not up for a vote in this. It's not being considered right now in the Florida State Senate, but that's right now. And as you know, we see Tallahassee can get crazy, and so there might be some sort of deal where that does come up in the Senate. So it's passed the House, has not been heard in the Senate. Peter writes another email that says, what will people lose if they lose their unions? What else will be taken from them? Please explain. All right, so let's answer Peter's question, Erin. What happens if this bill passes? Your union would be decertified because you have 12% and not 51% or 50% plus one. So what would happen if you lost your union?
So before I answer that question, I'd like to respond to Peter's previous email. So there is a Senate bill. It's Senate Bill 1036. It's in committee right now, but it hasn't been considered by the committee. And committee meets on Mondays. They met today. They didn't talk about it, but they could talk about it next Monday. So this is the Commerce and Tourism Committee that will be hearing this bill before it can go out to the Senate floor for a vote. And one of the members of this committee is Senator Dana Young. Dana Young, who represents West Hillsborough County, including Seminole Heights, South Tampa, lots of town and country, Carrollwood. So a lot of the listeners today, you can reach out to her office and voice your concern about this bill if you so choose. So to the second point, what happens if it passes in the Senate and this becomes law? So it would take effect, I think, this summer, like July 1st of this year. And if we don't have 50% membership, or if any union doesn't have 50% membership, you become decertified. And what that means is your collective bargaining agreement with the university is void. It's unenforceable. And you can't, the university or any employer is no longer obliged to keep up with what's in the contract. So for graduate assistants, what that likely means is that the decision to keep up with these agreements that we've spent decades building up with the university and our collective bargaining agreement will probably go to the departments. So if your department has a lot of money or they're feeling very generous, they can let you keep your health insurance or keep your minimum stipend. Or if they're not, you could lose your health insurance. And we have 2,200 people in our bargaining unit, and health insurance is probably the biggest issue for most of them. Whenever we ask people what they care about the most, we get these heartbreaking stories about how people really, really depend on having this health insurance that we're provided by the university as part of our compensation package. And without it, people wouldn't be able to go to grad school. They wouldn't be able to afford to follow this degree and also pay their medical bills. And it's a life or death situation for a lot of people too. Some people would literally die if not for this employer provided health insurance. So the thought of losing health insurance, I think, is probably the biggest deal for most of the GAs. But we could also lose our minimum stipends, where people will be getting paid less money. We could also lose our guarantees about, you can't just fire a graduate assistant. There's processes that you have to go through, proper disciplinary channels, and other sort of things that typically go into a contract with an employee-employer contract.
Well, our guest is Erin Sauer. She's co-president of the Graduate Assistants United at USF, and we're talking about HB 25 and SB 1036. HB 25 passed the Florida House last week. SB 1036 has not yet been heard in committee in the state Senate, and it's being called by its critics the union busting bill. What would happen is, if it does pass, unions that fall below 50% membership would be decertified. And we'd like your input, 813-239-9663. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. And you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. We're going to be back with Erin in just a second. I want to play a little bit more audio from Brody Hughes. Earlier, we heard Brody Hughes. He's the president of the International Union of Police Associations local chapter in Daytona. During Sasha Cordner's report, we heard him talking about how he was a Republican and that his union wouldn't be affected by this bill, but he still is opposed to the bill because it would hurt other unions. And I got this audio from a conference call with reporters last week. He pointed out that, like the bill's sponsor, he's a Republican.
This unnecessary legislation has been rushed through the process by House leadership with only one committee stop before it is voted on now in the third week of session. And it's obvious in the glaring questions and holes we see still, with no answers, the lack of hard information provided by the sponsor as to the need for this bill, and the widespread opposition we've seen from public servants across the state. No workers in Florida should have their rights taken from them at the workplace. This should be a fundamental issue that crosses any party line or profession. That's why we stand united against House Bill 25 with other public sector workers in our state.
Well, that's Brody Hughes. He's president of the International Union of Police Associations local chapter in Daytona. He's a Republican. His union would not be affected by this bill because there was a carve-out. So I'm going to ask you a political question, Erin, if you don't mind. Why do you think there was a carve-out here for these police unions and other unions that there's a few unions that are not going to be affected by this bill, whether if it does pass?
I think the Republicans in the Florida legislature would have a very hard time trying to pass a bill that would take away the unions of police officers and firefighters. And this bill is already going to be difficult for them to pass because they are taking away the rights of teachers and staff and sanitation workers and all these public employees, EMTs. I hear a lot of people saying that this exempts first responders, which is only true for police and fire departments. It's not true for EMTs, paramedics. I think it's just a harder sell for them to say that they're going to also take away the benefits and the rights of fire departments and police officers. I think it'd be very difficult for them to convince anybody to vote for this if that was the case. So this is just their way of making it seem a little bit nicer. But by putting any exemptions in, by letting any union be exempted from this, it's sort of, I think it defeats their argument, which is that if your union doesn't have 50%, then it's not representing anybody. If that's really what they think, then nobody should be exempted. So clearly this is just a ploy to fight the teacher union, fight AFSCME, and bust up our unions, and that's it. There's no real justification for that.
So it would hurt some unions and it would leave others alone. And the others that are left alone, coincidentally, he says with sarcasm, are the ones that often support Republicans.
Yep.
813-239-9663 is the number to call in. If you have an opinion about HB 25 or SB 1036, they're being called by their critics the union busting bill. In yesterday's Tampa Bay Times, columnist John Romano called it a deceptive bill. He said it's a blatant stab at union busting. What's your thoughts about it? Are you a member of a union? Does your union have 50% membership? or are you not a member? If you are not a member of a union, what do you think about the idea that about this bill? What do you think about HB 25? Let me read an email from Kevin. He says, "Could Aaron please explain the process of collectively bargaining agreement, the collective bargaining agreement, and how the lack of that could negatively affect many aspects of employment?" We've gone into a little bit of that already, but is there anything you can add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I can quickly describe what a collective bargaining agreement means. So our unit has 2,200 people, and all of those 2,200 people fall into the same rules of the collective bargaining agreement. Instead of every single one of those people having to individually go to the university and try to put down some kind of argument about why they deserve to have rights and deserve to be paid a certain amount of money, we do it collectively because there's more power in solidarity and collective bargaining. And then that agreement applies to everybody in the unit, not just any one individual. So it's a way to collectively work together to have more power against your employer, or a better, more power to negotiate a better contract for everybody, not just for any one individual.
Our guest is Erin Sauer. She's co-president of Graduate Assistants United at USF. She's a PhD candidate in the Integrative Biology Department at the USF Tampa campus. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. I do have someone on the line. Let me read an email or text message first. 813 writes, "This is a power grab. I bet the Republican union members who work for Mosaic and other large companies," and I think the email continues, "would be opposed to the bill." So that's a good question. Are you a union member out there who works for Mosaic, and do you oppose the bill? And if that's the case, if you are in a sensitive position, I would be happy to let you remain anonymous if you call in. 813-239-9663. All right, well, let's go to the phones. We'll take a call from Rocky in Clearwater. Hi, Rocky.
Yeah, this is Rocky from Clearwater. You know, I'm a union member from New Jersey, 945. I don't think anybody should bust any union. Unions are good. They protect you. They give you insurance. They give you health. And they give you a decent pension after 20 years. Actually, after 10 years, you can get a pension, but you can't collect until you're 60. But, I was even a representative for the garbage company in Jersey, Custom Disposal. But that thing is, you can't take away the unions. They should have unions here in Florida because they don't have any. They have no protection. They have no rights or anything over here, really.
And part of that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Rocky, but part of that is because of the different laws here in Florida, where it's what's called a right to work state. Whereas Aaron was explaining earlier, unlike New Jersey, I assume the unions, you don't have to be a member of the union in order to get the benefits.
Yeah, but actually, if you got the union protects you, let's say if you going to lose your job, they get a lawyer for you to protect your rights. You know, you have a right to appeal stuff. They fight for you over here in New Jersey. Over here in Florida, I see a lot of people just lose their job. Maybe they got a felony for whatever, drugs or whatever, and they stayed off the stuff and they went to rehab and they didn't get better, but they don't hire them back. Over in Jersey, they would hire you back as long as you stay out of trouble. So it's pretty bad over here. Actually, they're trying to get rights restored to some of these people. Some of the people are on drugs that, you know, they've been off it for 5 or 10 years. They shouldn't take the right to vote. You know, I think that's a terrible thing what they do to people. I mean, if they ever went to these NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous, they would see that there's a lot of decent people in there that deliver to the public and stuff that want to work and do stuff for everybody and want to vote for the right people. But they don't have a chance because they mock them out over here. It's like an evil state compared to New Jersey, New York. That's all I
got to
say.
All right, Rocky, thanks for those thoughts. Some of us think that it could improve, but there's a lot of beauty here as well. You know, Rocky touched on something else that's even a completely different topic, but I should mention, since he talked about ex-felons who don't have their rights restored, as I think someone who texted in, there will be an amendment on the ballot this coming November where if 60% of Floridians vote for this amendment, then ex-felons will have their rights, nonviolent ex-felons will have their rights automatically restored, the rights to vote and so forth. I don't know, Aaron, is it completely off topic? Is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's Amendment 4. And Florida has the highest disenfranchisement rate in the country. with about 10% of our population is permanently barred from ever voting again. Not just voting, it's voting or running for political office, participating in civic duties in any way, really. They're totally barred from doing it. And that's a lot of people. It's 10% of our population. That's 1 in 10 people. And it's worse in the Black community here. That's 1 in 5. It's 20% for them. Because as I'm sure most people know, Black people or people of color in general are more likely to be arrested or more likely to be incarcerated than any other than white people are. So it's especially, it's like racial disenfranchisement.
And I think that's going to be Amendment 4 in November.
Yep.
If you'd like to call in, 813-239-9663, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. It's 12:53 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Kinney. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday, and my guest is Erin Sauer. She's co-president of Graduate Assistants United at USF. We've already mentioned some of the professions, but not, you know, a lot of people aren't unionized, especially here in Florida, as our last caller Rocky pointed out. But there are certain types of professions that we've mentioned. Teachers already. We've mentioned a lot of the service industries are unionized. What are some of the professions that people might be more likely to be unionized? So a bill like this, if it does pass, HB 25, if it passes the Senate and gets signed by the governor, that might be affected by this bill?
Well, the bill would only impact public employee unions. So that would be city workers, teachers. Teachers are really the largest one. The teacher union is the largest union in the state. That's all K through 12 public schools, all the colleges that have faculty unions, university faculty. USF's faculty union is not at 50% membership either. So the faculty at USF would be, their union would be decertified, and they would, their collective bargaining agreement with the university would be voided as well. And so it's mostly teachers, but that also includes AFSCME, which is a very large union, has a lot of chapters. That's the staff at USF. That's the office staff. It's the janitorial staff, the physical plant people, grounds people. That's sanitation workers, anyone who works in utilities. All of those people, most of them have unions, and most of those unions would be decertified.
813-239-9663. If you'd like to join this conversation, I'm going to go to phones in just a second. I want to ask Erin, I want to ask you, now you don't represent the USF faculty union, but you've probably heard through the grapevine or you've heard from colleagues what their opinion about this bill is.
The faculty are actually a chapter of the same union that we are a part of. So Graduate Assistants United is a chapter of United Faculty of Florida, and the USF Faculty Chapter is a chapter of United Faculty of Florida. So we're all part of the same larger statewide faculty union that represents university faculty and college faculty all across the state. So they are of the same opinion that we are. The entirety of United Faculty of Florida is trying to fight this bill. We are all oppose the bill.
Our caller dropped off. You can call in at 813-239-9663. What are some things that you're doing besides, you know, just getting the word out? What are some actions that your union is doing or that the United Faculty of Florida is doing to let people know about this bill?
Coming on here today is one thing, but just letting our members know what the stakes are here, that this bill would have very real impacts on all of us. Just posting on social media, contacting our representatives. That's a big one. I contacted my state congressman, Sean Shaw. He's very easy to get in touch with. Let him know what's at stake at the University of South Florida for graduate assistants. I contacted Dana Young's office to let her office know that this is a big deal for the university and would be a big deal for the Tampa Bay community. And I think that's really the best thing that we can do right now is contact your senator, especially if you happen to live in Hillsborough County and Dana Young happens to be your senator, because she is on this committee that the bill has to get through before it can even go to the Senate. And last year, the same bill tried to get through. They tried to get the same bill through the Senate, and it died in the very same committee that she is still a member of. They never even put it on their agenda and just wouldn't even acknowledge it. So there is a potential to stop it in committee in the Senate.
And that's Senator Dana Young of Tampa. 813-239-9663. Let's hear what Ron from Lakeland has to say. Ron, you don't happen to work for Mosaic, do you?
I do not work for Mosaic, but I wanted to ask your guest, what kind of barriers have her people found in being able to address groups of workers, meet with groups of workers, gather groups of workers where they can basically promote union membership? Are there any hurdles before them, and do they know if this law addresses it? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, thanks for your question. So our biggest hurdle, I think, is that our unit is so large. We have 2,200 people, and we're graduate students. So that means most of us don't have offices. We don't have concrete office space. We kind of work in labs, or we work in shared TA offices. People aren't always on campus every day. Our appointments are for 20 hours a week, so people aren't always around. Some people have research assistantships that require them to be out of the country or out of the state for long periods of time. So it's just really hard to find people. We can reach out over email, but that's still pretty limited. People still have to open up their email. And I think a lot of people really don't understand that they're not automatically enrolled in their union. A lot of GAs come from states where that's not the case, where they would be automatically enrolled in their union. So that's sort of the expectation they have. Additionally, when you sign your appointment letter at USF, there's a box at the bottom that says check if you agree to be contacted by your union. And 98%, if not more, people check the box to agree to be contacted by us. But I think often people confuse that with joining as a member, and they assume that they're a member because they have checked this box saying that we can contact them, but it just doesn't work that way. You have to sign a form.
And they think that that's it, that they're now they're a member now that I've checked that form. Yeah. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint today, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron Sauer is the co-president of Graduate Assistants United at USF. She's also a PhD candidate in integrative biology at USF Tampa. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. Sorry, Dave, that I didn't get to your call. If you happen to be still on hold like Dave, or if you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next show. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news. You can join us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineer Alvaro Monte Alegre and our phone answerer Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero Mark Bureau will host Midpoint Tuesday. And in 2 weeks, we will be fundraising on this show. And in a few days before that, we'll be fundraising on the whole station. So please support WMNF financially if you can. Stay tuned now for John Gilmore in executive session. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota.